In brightest day,
in blackest night.
And rares of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter Duran.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and at getthepointradio.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your pencils and inks.
Laying out the world of comic books.
Laying it out, Chris.
Laying it out.
Layouts are important.
Yes, you have to lay out the, you know, how things are going in the show, like, or not in the comic.
Itself. Right. Yeah. That's
they're called layouts. Breakdowns.
Break it up.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Oh, sorry.
Well, that's what we're doing right now.
Or just we're breaking something, all right. I think our listeners' eardrums.
Chris, it's Wednesday again. Where does the week
go? You know what? I don't know. I really don't know. We get together every Wednesday, and then all of a sudden, 7 days go by, and here we are. It's Wednesday again.
Like literally, it seems like it's too soon to see you.
I know.
To see you again.
You know, as much as I like you, I'm kind of getting tired of you.
Right.
We've been doing this for almost over 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jeez. All right. Yeah. Anyway, let's keep going here.
Right. For three more years.
At least. You know what's great is that, you know, over the years, we just keep on getting better and better sponsors
for
our show.
Yes, we
do. And speaking of which, great segue, new this week is brought to you by good old-fashioned supervillain team-up. Because the Joker just isn't the same without the Penguin, and where would the Mad Thinker be without the Puppet Master? The supervillain team-up. Pick one up today at your local comic shop.
Yes, pick one up today at your local comic shop.
Do you remember those old supervillain team-ups?
Of course I remember those supervillain team-ups.
I'm trying to go back
into the archives of old comic books and trying to I'm not sure if I remember the first ever supervillain team-up, but I'm sure it has to do with DC, maybe Luthor and somebody.
Right.
But I know Marvel's first supervillain team-up, and that was in Fantastic Four number 6 when Doom and Submariner teamed up to take on the FF.
That was
kind of Marvel's first supervillain team-up.
Yeah. Wasn't the first almost like the first unofficial but official team-up book was like Submariner and Iron Man.
Yeah. You see, because
it was a one shot.
Yeah, but you see, Marvel later on they turned Submariner into like a hero.
Yeah.
But he was kind of
a villain before.
A villain at the beginning. Anyway.
All right.
Chris, great segue into new this week. And what do we got? What do we got on the plate today for new this week?
Well,
right off the bat here,
I want to talk about Marvel Point One.
Point one.
Okay, so this is I'm holding it in my hands here, and it says "The Future Begins Here." Marvel Point One.
You got the future in your hands. That's Stevie Wonder did that in. Anyway.
Yeah. Anyways.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
Okay, so that's a good song. I like that song. So I don't know what to say about this book. I don't like it.
Apparently, you don't know.
You know what? Here I thought Marvel was going to be doing all these great things, kind of a reboot of all their characters and all that kind of stuff. And it appears to me that all this book is a mini jumping on point for a bunch of storylines that Marvel plans on coming out with later on in the year.
That's good.
Yeah, but it's kind of crappy. I mean, you know, DC did it, and they would sell it for a dollar.
Right.
Because they want everybody enticed.
Yeah, that was that 80-something. I remember that.
Yeah.
And
now Marvel doesn't, and it's, what, like $2.99 or $3.99
or something. $5.99.
Hey, if you want the privilege of being able to read the rest of our books, you got to pay $6 to find out what's going on.
If you want a easy jump-on point for 6 stories, six pages each, all you have to do is pay a buck each for them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I think it stinks, and I give it a 0.
Whoa, Chris, that's harsh.
Well, you know
that's
what? I think if Marvel really wants to step up their game here, why not make it a big book like it is? It's a thicker book. You know, it's got like 30 or 40 pages or something in it. But why not make it a buck?
You know what? Like a promotional material type stuff.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Put it on crappier paper and just make sure, you know, get it so that everybody want to read it instead of collect it. And maybe, just maybe, people might actually buy their second parts of it.
Yeah, because they state right on the cover, Chris, the future begins here.
Yeah.
And there's no future if nobody's picking up the book because of the price.
That's right. It's right. $6. It's cost prohibitive for people to pick it up.
This, of course, is Comic Book Economics by Chris Owen.
I'm just saying, you know, if you can go pick up a reprint of the new Justice League International or something like that,
mm-hmm.
or Batgirl for $2.99,
yep.
and then, you know, you can get a number one, and then a number two, number three, and then all of a sudden you're caught up in the storyline.
Yes.
You can get two books for the price of this one, and this one doesn't even have a whole story in it.
Good point.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's
I realize that Marvel will probably never be on the show now. I'm just saying, though.
Of course they will. Listen, Chris, you have here in your little pile of new this week, which these are all, of course, available at your local comic book store this week.
Right.
As are, I think, 750 other titles.
I'm sure, at least.
Big week.
Yeah, right. big week, yes.
Right. Grifter.
Grifter number 3 came out today.
Number 3. Now, you were talking to me before about the show, why you picked this. I go, Chris, the Grifter? He goes, well, I'm just surprised it made number 3.
I can't believe it actually made number 3. I'm shocked.
Well,
I'm shocked that it's still around. And I'm looking at the cover, and there's some sort of Cthulhu-like character,
yes.
and the guy with him. I don't get it.
You know what, Chris? It's caught in the swell of the 52 tide.
I think
tide.
So.
You
I
know,
think so,
the
yeah.
52 tide is carrying it
yeah,
with it.
I think
right?
so, yeah.
And because there are still people that are buying all of them.
Yeah, well,
I
you know,
do know that.
I think, speaking of tides, I think this one's about to be the driftwood left ashore.
No, don't say that.
I just don't see it lasting.
Well, you know what? You and I talked last week and a few months ago about there should be somewhere on the net some betting scam.
Some pool.
Yeah, pool on which titles go off first. And there should be like a big hockey pool or a big baseball pool.
I agree.
You know, at the end, I'm sure nobody will – well, obviously just the law of averages. Somebody will have to peg them all like exactly.
Yeah.
But even if they don't, you go by point structures
on how
close you are and stuff like that. And Grifter was high on my list too to get off, but – I don't know.
I mean, maybe I'm sounding too pessimist here today. I just can't believe it's still around. He was a third, fourth tier character from the Wildstorm universe, and now here he is. He's got his own book, and he's still up to number 3. However, maybe DC has some sort of mandate saying that all these new books are gonna have to go to at least issue 6.
Mandate.
And then
didn't
after
you
that,
have one of those last week?
Hey-oh!
All right. Anyway.
All right, let's keep moving here.
Let's keep moving before we get into trouble.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to be in trouble all right after that last comment.
Hey, you're surprising me with your picks this week, by the way.
Why, are they good or bad?
I don't know.
Oh,
you're
all
just
right.
surprising me.
Oh, all right.
Witchblade from Top Cow,
yeah.
number 149. Now, what's the criteria for this book here?
Well, again, much like Grifter number 3, I can't believe Witchblade is up to issue 149.
Now, I'm with you on that one. Witchblade should not be up to issue 149.
I just don't get it. You know, the character of Sarah Pazzini, or whatever her name is, she's like a detective slash has the power of the Witchblade. You know, I don't get it. Now, granted, I know.
Well, it's TNA.
It is TNA, but, you know, how far does that go, really? Clearly, 149
issues is how far it goes, Chris. It's kind of same reason, I guess, Vampirella.
Right.
Remember you and I were talking last week about the flipping Grim Fairy
Tales.
Yeah,
Grim Fairy Tales was all sexified.
And they're still going.
Yeah, true enough.
This kind of in the 90s, Witchblade. Didn't Witchblade start around the same time as Dawn?
Yeah, remember there was that whole era of comics where there was all the quote unquote femme fatale comics
yeah,
coming out.
Yeah.
So you had Witchblade and Dawn and Vampirella and Tarot.
And hold on, what's his name? Michael Turner.
Fathom.
Fathom. Michael Turner's Fathom.
And, yeah, all these sexy characters were all making it big. Making a splash. I mean,
yeah,
making lots of people buy comics.
Right.
Yes.
All right. So, Witchblade number 149 from Top Cow.
Yeah.
hitting your local comic book shops today.
One of the things, just before we let that one die, one of the things I was happy to see, though, was the creators of this book was we've got Ron Mars and Stepan Sajic.
Sage.
Anyways, a couple of really great creators, and you know, I am happy to see that these guys are on that kind of a book.
Right, Chris. You know, once I bought a book called How to Make It Big.
Yeah?
I was really disappointed. It was all about money.
Hello. Anyways.
And I think that's the fourth time I used the
joke. That's a Dangerfield joke?
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah.
All right. Anyways, perfect segue into our kids' pick of the week.
Mega Man. Yes, indeed. From Archie Comics. Mega Man, kids' pick of the week. Mega Man at number 7, rightfully so. It should reach 149.
This is a franchise that's been around a long time, since the early days of Nintendo, and it's always been fun. It's always been popular. And, you know, it's a franchise that just keeps on coming back, and rightly so. It's awesome.
Right, and Mega Man is kind of along the same lines as Sonic
being successfully adapted into
kids' comics as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know?
Not nearly as popular as some other video game characters on their own, like, say, Mario Brothers and stuff like that is clearly much, much, much more popular. But, you know, it's still a very, very popular comic and video game out there.
All right. All right, Chris, let's end New This Week right there. Please head into your local comic book shop. Check out all the New This Week comics at the New This Week rack, which probably be a good place for them.
Well, that is generally where they like to hang out.
Where they keep all the comics.
Well, yeah, you know, it's always one of those kind of weird kind of things. All right, let's just cut to a musical interlude here, and we've got let's go with Robin the Wonderful Boy Wonder.
Wherever Batman goes, he is always there, and all their evil foes are very much aware that though he's just a boy, no grown-up can compare with Robin the Wonderful Boy Wonder. If Batman's in a fix and it looks like it's the end, he really doesn't worry, he knows he can depend on that fearless teenage hero who is his closest friend. Robin the Wonderful Boy Wonder. He fights for law and order whenever there's disorder, and asks for no reward or prize for doing what he order. And though he's just a lad, I'm sure that you'll agree, there's never been a lad as wonderful as he. And if one wish I had, I wish that I could be Robin the Wonderful Boy Wonder. Wherever Batman goes, he is always there, and all their evil foes are very much aware.
What a swinging tune.
I know you love that one.
I love that. Yeah. Robin the Wonderful Boy Wonder.
Well, he is a wonder.
He is. Yeah. And Chris, a great segue into industry news. And industry news this week is brought to you by video games based on comic books and by comic books based on video games. Neither are good, but hey, we're running out of ideas.
Well, you know, in a way that is true. I don't know, running out of ideas, but, you know, really, I've never really truly enjoyed when a comic becomes a video game. There are some really good ones. Like, for example, Batman Arkham City is awesome, but they're so few and far between. They're getting better these days, but, man, some of the early days of video games that are comics, woo-wee, stinkeroony.
Yeah. You know, if you go back, if we dig historically, if you and I become historians, archaeologists of comics in a way.
Yes.
We can trace this comic books over into video game property well before the video games. And remember when the comic books were heading on to pinball machines?
Yes, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. Even before video games.
Before video games.
I remember playing like a Spider-Man pinball machine. Yeah. Actually, you know what's funny?
What?
Is nowadays on – I'm not aware about the other video game properties out there. But the other game stations. But as far as PlayStation goes, PlayStation has Marvel Pinball, And so there's all different types of Marvel pinball video games that, online sort of thing. So you can play like a Captain America pinball game, Spider-Man, Blade, all these different guys. And it's very cool. So it's kind of like they're actually reverting back to the old ways.
Yeah, absolutely. Remember the Playboy pinball machine?
No. Sadly,
no?
I don't.
Okay, that was just me. All right.
Hi-yo.
All right, Chris, let's this is really kind of exciting news in the world of comic books. The first thing we're going to talk about today is the DC dominating the October specialty comic market with 51%. All the fans of comic books that went into their local comic book shops in October.
Yeah.
DC accounted for 51 out of every 100 books that left
the
shop.
That is amazing. That is absolutely amazing. That is a sure domination. Like, really, it doesn't happen very often where any company gets a chance to do that, where they're dominating over half of the sales.
Now,
yeah, I mean, normally DC, especially for DC, because normally DC is below Marvel.
Yeah, they're like a 5-7 point behind Marvel type of situation for them. Where Marvel's, I remember the old, like last year, I guess, I'm just guessing here, like Marvel would have 42% and DC would have 35 or something like that.
Right.
And now with this new 52, DC basically, you know, has you know, almost got 52% of the market.
Yeah,
really.
Right. What a coincidence that is.
Wow.
But you know, but and now of course because DC has their price point is a little bit lower. We're seeing that although they have a bigger market share, they actually have a lower dollar share.
They have a higher dollar share that's just not as high as the spread. So they still dominated the dollar share at 42%. So 42 cents out of every dollar spent at comic book shops in October went to DC.
Right. But you know, and here's one of the here's a statistic that I like overall. In October 2011 posted a whopping 23% increase in comic book sales overall. Uh-huh. I think that's fantastic. Uh-huh. That's awesome for the industry. I know that probably a lot of that has to do with the DC.
Sure,
you know,
it does. But listen, it has to do with something, right? Like DC's new 52 is something. It's a game changer.
Yep.
It worked. Comic sales are up at comic specialty shops.
Right.
And that's the main thing.
Now, do you think that we were talking last week? Do you think that the one of the reasons why the comic sales in general are up is because people are coming in for the new 52 and they're ending up buying, you know, the Ghostbusters or, you know, G.I. Joe, all that kind of stuff? Because remember we were saying that IDW had higher sales as well.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about it. Now, I still think, I'm going to get off topic a bit, just off topic a bit here.
All right. Just a bit?
Yeah. I mean, for companies like IDW, it hits me like when IDW, when you see people coming in for the new 52. Now, follow me here.
Okay, I'm following you.
Are you following me?
I'm following you.
All right. So
where are we going?
I'm about to go.
Oh,
there.
Sorry. Okay.
So people are coming in to try this new 52, and then they're going, hey. Wow, Star Trek.
Yes.
I remember watching that show.
Yeah.
I'll pick up a comic book because maybe these new 52 guys are guys that fell off and they left before IDW brought all these cool properties with them, right?
Yep.
So I'm thinking like you know how Archie for decades survived
basically
outside of the specialty shop.
Yeah,
they survived because they were at
grocery stores
at the checkout.
Yep,
and you know, back then predominantly women bought the groceries.
They saw Archie.
They
for
liked
their kids.
Archie. They bought Archie for their kids.
Yeah.
And that carried that publisher for years. So I got to thinking. Well, what if we put certain types of comics in certain other like venues.
Oh, okay. I like this.
So,
So
what you have is, let's say you have, you know, Jurassic Park.
Right.
So
right.
It's for sale at
the zoo.
Your local comic book shop.
At the zoo.
But also like at the Royal Ontario Museum.
Oh, I like that idea.
So you
walk in
and then you have that.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes.
Right.
It can be for sale at the local comic book shop and at your local bar.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, Godzilla.
Yeah.
At your local comic book shop and at like sushi restaurants.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one a lot.
You see, because people,
Japanese
culture and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Doctor Who.
Yeah.
You know, at your local comic book shops and at fish and chips places.
I say.
Oh.
Oh, I do enjoy jolly old fish and chips.
Oh, Doctor Who. I see. Oh, which doctor is this? I say. I'll pick up a copy.
That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, and then maybe like Wonder Woman, you can get it like at Amazon.com.
Oh man.
Did I ever kill that one?
Ooh.
All right.
Ooh, I thought you were going to say you can get, you know, the Flash at, you know, the local sex shop.
Hello. All right. Anyway, though, with these, it just got me thinking.
Right.
With these, IDW could sell a lot more comic books if they were in other places other than comic book shops.
Well, no, it's very true.
Because of the kind of properties, yeah. the populist pop culture properties that they sell and stuff like that. But hey, like, you know what? I guess we can't complain. People are coming into local comic book shops to pick up the new 50.
That's right.
Companies like Dark Horse and IDW are profiting from it,
yep.
as is even Marvel, I'm
yep.
sure,
yep,
right?
For sure.
So that's a good thing. I mean, the next report there that we're reading is sorry, you know what? You had that list, Chris, for me. The top
yep.
comics
yep.
Of the month. So Justice League. So this is amazing that of the top 100 comics in October that sold according to Diamond Distributors, only three were not Marvel and
yeah,
DC.
That's a bit saddening. However,
yes.
however, the only thing I'll say about that is all 52 comics, I'm sure, are in that top 100.
Mm-hmm.
So whereas DC before, I'm sure, had a bunch that were below the top the 100.
Yeah,
so
I
now
know.
All of a sudden they've got 52 issues in that top 100. So that means that there's only 48 spots left. Marvel's going to take up clearly almost all of them.
Right? Right.
So, you know, it's...
Okay, yeah. Here's the problem I have with that, I guess, and this is you and I now. We're kind of... This is our pulpit right now.
Right.
We're preaching to our flock, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be... When you have properties like Star Wars, when you have properties like... Star Trek,
yeah.
and Ghostbusters and all that kind of stuff,
yeah.
Buffy... We shouldn't – it's almost like the people walking into comic book shops are not – they're like disciples of the publisher, and that
right.
shouldn't be so.
Right.
Right? Like you shouldn't be buying Grifter because – you know, it may be a great book and you love it, and
that's a
great reason to buy it.
Absolutely.
But the reason to buy it shouldn't be that it's part of the DC's New 52.
Right.
It's a DC book that
right.
might have some sort of reference to Batman somewhere, which I get off on or something like that, right? I mean, there are – if you're going to tell me that the 42nd best DC title and the 41st best Marvel title are going to blow away all these great Dark
right.
Horse and
properties
IDW
and
titles or Image, like
yep.
Original Image properties and
yep.
stuff like
yep.
that. I won't say I'm finding it hard to believe, but I'm a bit disappointed
right.
by that trend.
I think this is probably going to be a blip. I'm sure Star Wars and properties from Dark Horse, other properties from Dark Horse rather, like Hellboy, things like that, would normally be on those lists. I would have to take a look at the last couple of years and see what the lists are like, but I can't imagine that Star Wars would be that far down the list because it's such a huge property.
Right.
Something like Ghostbusters is very niche-ish. Even Star Trek. But there are some bigger properties out there. Like, as you said, Buffy is on the top 100 there. So, you know, I'm not surprised about that.
And a couple of Walking Dead issues.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So, anyways, let's keep on going here.
All right. So I wanted to end that topic on the fact that the DC's new 52s, number twos, were only down 6% in sales over the number ones, which apparently for an industry standard for number two versus number one is really, really good.
Well, yeah, because, you know, but again, I think a lot of people are picking them up. And although I'm trying not to be too much of a pessimist here, I am trying to be a bit of a realist. I don't know how many people would only pick up the first issue and then not the second if they wanted to read it, which is actually a good thing.
Right.
Clearly, they're not just buying it just for the number ones and trying to speculate.
Which was a good thing.
Which
yes.
is a good thing.
Yes.
So it's good that they're picking up number twos. I'm wondering how the number three sales are going to do, if it's going to be even another 6% or 10% or whatever.
Well, if it's another 6%, I would imagine it's pretty good. Can you imagine? Yeah. I mean, Chris, you were in the industry in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking about a 6% drop from number ones to number twos.
Yeah.
I wonder what the drop was in the 90s for number ones to number twos.
Man.
Like 80% drop?
Absolutely. You know? Because number ones, you remember there was like
50 apiece.
7 million copies of X-Men number one were printed in all of its
different
variants.
Because Buddy would walk in and say, I want 100 copies.
Yeah, I want 100 copies. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the reason why he's doing that is because he's like, well, I want the incentive, so I want to get the gold foil variant issue or whatever.
Right? And I want to put my kids through college when I sell these for 50
exactly,
bucks each.
Exactly, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, now he's sleeping on them.
Yes, he is. So. He's stuffing his mattress with them.
But you know what's funny? This whole DC thing has kind of brought about a number of topics. And, you know, our intrepid reporter, Mr. Danny Champion, over in merry old England,
Danny.
He's come up with an interesting theory. He thinks that that DC and Marvel are planning, in maybe not so many words, but are planning to kind of go head-to-head again.
Blasphemy!
And I know! Crazy, isn't it? So he thinks that, you know, maybe Marvel is actually going to have their own sort of starting point next year, and maybe then this is going to be some sort of, you know, Marvel versus DC kind of actual comic crossovers come around again. Now, remember they did that a few years ago. They did the whole DC versus Marvel crossovers done by George Perez, I think, was the artist. And then, you know,
Avengers versus JLA was one of them.
Well, remember it was a four-issue miniseries.
Oh, I remember that one.
So
the first one was like
Marvel versus DC, and then DC versus Marvel, DC versus Marvel, and then Marvel versus DC for the last one.
I'm very confused.
So there was four issues.
Yeah.
And the actual titles were like Marvel was first for the first one and the last one, and DC was first for the second and third one.
Right.
In the name.
Okay. I wasn't confused, but I was trying to pretend to be confused. Okay. Anyway, so what's Mr. Champion saying?
Well, anyways, he thinks that that there's going to be like this, you know, giant crossover kind of thing, and basically he thinks that there's going to be a big space station is going to come around that has been around for a long time. Dr. Doom is out in the universe somewhere, and he's plotting things and looking at wormholes, and all of a sudden he finds this wormhole that happens to go to the DC universe,
right.
And of course he ends up finding characters like the Joker, and he sees, you know, hey, this must be some sort of odd type world like my own. I want to rule it too, kind of thing.
Who wouldn't?
Who
really?
Wouldn't? That's right. So then basically he and Joker kind of team up a little bit in some sort of weird type villain team up thing. And then of course there's all the superheroes have to battle each other.
Right.
So,
because the villains set it up.
Right.
So there's this that station that Mr. Champion is the bridge between the two worlds.
Right.
He draws the villains draw all the heroes into it, and the heroes have battle.
Right. Right. Right.
And you know what? It's a great post. It's on comicbookdaily.com.
Yeah. I don't necessarily agree with all of his ideas on who's going to be
fighting who. No,
but
it's fun. I think Mr. Champion, because he's in London, right?
Yes.
He's kind of the center of the financial world and stuff. He's probably privy to some sort of information.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
That Disney is planning to buy Warner.
And he did go see the Batman live.
Yeah,
thing,
so which, yeah.
You know, so really.
He probably's got inside information
from
one of the roadies. hey, bloke. You have a fag.
Anyways,
he's probably privy to something that Disney will buy Warner, and then it'll be one big happy company.
Oh, wouldn't that be
crazy?
Yeah.
The universe of
pretty
comic
much,
books.
Yeah, yes. Pretty much.
All right,
let's keep
excellent.
Going here. Let's keep going.
All right, Chris, should we? I think we just spent an hour and a half talking
about
Disney and Marvel. We need a break.
And that is an excellent idea. Let's I don't know if you remember this one. This one came out in the mid 70s, late 70s. It's the old Flash Gordon cartoon. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but this is by old Filmation. Here you go.
Blasting off on a desperate mission to save Earth from the evil plottings of the tyrannical space lord Ming the Merciless. Dr. Hans Zarkov and Dale Arden have joined me, Flash Gordon, on a fantastic journey into worlds where peril and adventure await us. Thank you.
Flash.
Ah! Savior of the universe.
That was Queen, wasn't it?
It was. Yes, it was Queen. Yes.
No, but that wasn't Queen.
No, that was not Queen.
Right.
That was actually a really good cartoon back for its day.
Was it in the 70s?
In the 70s, wow. Yeah. It was a lot of it was done like with rotoscope and that cool kind of animation.
Was it the same guys that did Rocket Robin Hood?
Because
that was terrible. Rocket Robin Hood had the worst animation in the history
was
of comics.
No, that was Krantz. Krantz. Was that Krantz?
Same guys that did Spider-Man.
I think there was a couple of episodes where it was almost like the same backgrounds when they went to like Dementia 5 and stuff.
Oh, really?
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Krantz, huh?
Crazy Krantz kids.
All right, Chris, let's talk about. I wanted to talk about. So I read a report that people are spending more money for home entertainment. So things like people are consuming more. Products to watch at home stuff like you're talking about DVDs, Blu-rays, that kind
video
of
games,
thing.
All
video
that stuff.
Games
yeah.
like Arkham City,
yeah, absolutely.
So that whole industry of buying products and entertaining yourself at home
for sure
is growing.
For sure, and you know, I think part of that. Okay, so I think there's a number of different things at work here. One, the cost to go to say a movie or to go out. For the evening it's getting higher and higher. If you want to go to a restaurant, you're looking at for a couple and then a nice meal with a bottle of wine and dessert and all that. It's $100, right? It's hard to spend for a really nice meal. You go to the Keg.
What kind of restaurant are you going to?
If you go to the Keg.
Remember those old police shows, Chris? Remember those old police shows where the the cop is falling asleep. He's eating a sandwich.
Is this thing on?
And like an alien spaceship drives by and he looks at his sandwich. Which he throws it out the window. Or the other guy, man, I got to stop eating at them cheap restaurants.
That was like in the Flintstones.
Yeah, nothing like that. Anyway, what were you saying?
I don't know. All I was saying is that it costs a lot of money to go out these days.
Yes.
So people are spending their money to stay in. And, now with the advent of things like Blockbuster going out of business, because downloading movies is so easy from things like Netflix, going and buying movies is almost as expensive to go to the movies. It's $14 a ticket plus your popcorn and all that for two or three people to go to the movies. It's $50.
Cheaper to go to the Keg.
Cheaper, exactly. Or to go and buy the movie,
right?
And keep it for forever, right?
Yeah, you're right.
So now all of a sudden, there a lot of people are staying home and doing all this stuff. Now,
go ahead.
Sorry, no.
I also think part of that play is because I think, remember, people used to be able to buy the VHS too and all that kind of stuff back in the day. It was a little bit maybe more money, but still, I honestly think that the home for a cheap amount of money now, like a cheaper amount of money, cheaper than it's ever been, the home can be set up where the entertainment value, the wow factor of the gadgets that you're buying, the sound bars that you're buying, the 99-inch TV, 3D, plasma, LCD stuff that you're buying, you are getting an amazing experience watching a Blu-ray thing
for sure,
now.
Absolutely.
Whereas before, like people will go, I can get
Can you fix the tracking on the VHS?
Yeah, I can get the VHS, but it's making, I'm going to blow the wad and spend the money at the movie theater with the surround sound.
Right,
but
you
can replicate that almost at home now.
It's much cheaper. I mean, before it would cost you, tens of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Now you can do it for,
a couple thousand bucks. A couple thousand. You can get a great sound system, a great TV, a great, Blu-ray player.
Now, I'm interested to know, so in this, obviously you won't know this, but I'm wondering if in this home entertainment listing, if they're including things like tablets and computers, because clearly that is part of home entertainment now. Because
that's a good point.
If your tablets are huge,
right?
iPods, tablets, iPads, all that stuff is people are clearly spending a lot of money and time on those things. And so I can see why they would want to use that as part
now,
of
they are mobile devices, though, so maybe they wouldn't be included. But it's a good question, though.
Yeah,
it is a good question.
You know what? That's my job. I raise the good questions.
Yes, you do.
I certainly do. I don't get any good answers.
No, not for me, anyway.
No. I need a better co-host for that. I mean, I have the best co-host there is.
Absolutely, Chris. And on the same topic here, we have a thing on the Captain America DVD Blu-ray that just came out right now.
Yeah.
It, I guess, had a clean sweep in,
yeah,
its,
so,
in its initial release.
So it came out basically with the DVD, the Blu-ray, mm-hmm. the 3D Blu-ray, and there was something else.
The rental.
So basically, all the sales for the rentals, for all the actual buying it, blew everybody else out of the water.
Right.
Which is great. It bumped Walt Disney's Pirates of the Caribbean on Stranger Tides, which was the previous winner the week before.
Yep.
But clearly, this was a knockout punch kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like it did very, very well, which I'm extremely happy about, because I love Captain America. I love the movie. I can't wait to see the Avengers movie. Can't wait to see a sequel to this movie. It's awesome.
You know what's great about this too is because you and I love consuming the products that are entertainment from comic books, right?
Yes, yes.
And generally speaking, from anything. Now, I don't know. I'm going to just make a number up here. Let's say 15 years ago, a studio putting in $1 billion or whatever it is to produce something.
Yeah.
They were so dependent on the theatrical release back then, right?
Yes, yes.
And now I think we're moving to a world where, yeah, the theatrical release is nice, but there are There are so many other downstream revenue streams, I guess. I mean, remember flipping Star Wars, which is 92 years old, the movie?
Yeah.
It made $84 million on its Blu-ray release weekend
or something, which
is more than it made on opening weekend
in
1977.
Yeah, that's right. Plus, I mean, you know, let's not forget about all the toys and the posters and books and comics and all that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, and that's where really, as we've talked about before, it's the crossover stuff that really I think a lot of these properties are making their money on, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily just the comics. It's not just the movies, but it's everything all tied in, the toys and the video games and all that stuff.
Comic culture rules.
It really does.
Yes, it does.
Now more so than ever.
Yes. All right.
All right, let's keep
what
going
else
here.
We got, Chris? We got...
are we talking about Ani with Diamonds?
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you found this, Ani Publishing,
Press,
Ani Press, sorry, who's claim to fame, as far as I'm concerned, as a Canadian... As a Southern Ontarian, was their adaptation of Scott Pilgrim.
Their publishing of Scott Pilgrim. Yeah, that's right.
Which was a huge success and turned into a good movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Diamond Comic Distributors, which is the exclusive distributor for comic books through specialty shops.
Yeah.
They've extended their agreement to distribute, market, Oni Press publications.
Yep, which is good.
Which is great.
Oni is in a funny spot. They're big enough where they probably could go with other companies and like try to do everything on their own and that kind of thing. But at the same time, Diamond knows they've got something good with them, so they don't want to do all that stuff. So they've are actually negotiating terms and stuff like that, which normally Diamond doesn't do because they don't need to, really.
Exactly.
They don't have to because they're the only game in town. So really, if you want your book to sell through them, well, you listen to whatever they have to say.
Yeah, listen to what I have to say. I'm the king of the hill.
As far as Diamond goes, what's also interesting is there's going to be a Angry Birds comic book series coming out by Rovio Entertainment. Now, of course, I don't know if you're familiar with the Angry Birds.
Apparently, it's some sort of app that you buy on your phone.
It is and it isn't. It's a game. It's a game app, but
it's a game.
So, but I mean, you can get Angry Birds the game on your PlayStation, on your on your phone,
mm-hmm.
on basically anything that you can play video games on, right? So it's not just a phone thing. It's not just an iPad thing. You can play it on the PlayStation 3.
Right.
So you can play it anywhere.
What are these Angry Birds? They're a bunch of birds that are really angry.
They're really angry.
Who are they angry at?
Pigs.
Pigs?
Yes, green pigs.
Birds hate pigs.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. But you know why?
Why?
Because these green pigs stole their eggs.
Stole the birds' eggs.
Yes, that's correct.
All right. Wow.
Yeah. You clearly have to play the game to understand it.
I'm missing it so far.
Yeah, you really are. Because you know what? It's actually an extremely addictive game. It's addictive in its simplicity. It's a puzzle-type game, and you get all these different types of birds, and basically you have to smash down all these buildings and things to try to kill the pigs.
Wow. All right, Cat.
I can see you're getting really bored here already.
Yeah, right away my mind went to, all right, Cat, where are the boyd at?
All right, let's keep going here.
No, I have a question, another Angry Bird question.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were done with the Angry Birds.
You know what I am. I'm going to be done with Angry Birds.
Good to know.
Alrighty then. Let's keep moving it along. Let's talk about this is great, Chris. This is great. You and I talked last week and maybe the week before about Amazon's Kindle signing that exclusive DC thing where they have the big DC graphic novels exclusively.
And that was for Watchmen and Dark Knight, right?
And 100 other titles.
Right, okay, yeah. right.
And I'm not sure. I think it was for a time period, like half a year or something like that. And Barnes & Noble, and they raised a stink about it because, of course, Barnes & Noble is a massively large bookseller, too.
Right, for sure.
And they have their Nook reader.
Which is like the Kindle. Right.
And they flippin' couldn't sell Watchmen on it, right?
No, that's right. Because
DC signs a flippin' thing with them.
Exclusive, that's right.
So, tit for tat.
Tit for tat.
They go to Marvel.
What is a tat, anyways?
I am not sure.
I'm pretty sure what the first one is, but I don't want to say it without
right.
the phrase.
It is a bird.
Angry Birds.
Yeah, Angry
tat
Bird.
Tat Angry Bird.
Yes.
All right.
Where the hell was I now? You got me off track.
Sorry. The Nook on Barnes & Noble.
Right, Nook. So the Nook is this e-reader. And so the Barnes & Noble went to Marvel and they said, hey, you know, we're really mad at DC, so can we sign an exclusive with you for your graphic novels on the Nook so we can get, you know, DC mad at you.
Right.
And so now, it's like a little battle, you know, game on.
Yep. So now all of a sudden the Nook has titles like Civil War, Invincible Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Astonishing X-Men, New Avengers, and Marvels going to be appearing exclusively on the Barnes & Noble Nook.
Right. So here's the poor schmuck that loves reading comic books and loves reading graphic novels and has decided because he lives far away from a local comic book shop. Because I know if people are close to a local comic book shop, they will go into their
local comic book shop. And they'll buy
the original. And they'll buy the original, of course. We always encourage that, you and I.
That's right.
But so if he's in Timbuktu
and
he really wants to read graphic novels on his whatever.
Whatever,
He now has to buy two of the flippin' whatever.
Yeah, he has to buy two different readers because Marvel and DC can't get along.
Yeah.
And so, once again, the customer suffers. That's right, yeah.
So who's winning here?
Nobody.
That's
a great question. Yeah. That's an excellent
I don't think DC is winning because they're putting all their eggs in one Amazon basket.
Yeah.
I don't think Marvel is winning because they're going just all, you know, Barnes & Noble.
And, you know what happens is people won't be able to decide, so they'll get neither.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping happens in a sense.
Yeah.
Rather than get both, they get neither.
Because
neither.
Let's call the whole thing off. You know what you don't want to happen is you don't want to anger the public by having some sort of weird, stupid VHS versus beta issue where all of a sudden now, or you know, what was it? It was HD versus Blu-ray. Now it's going to be Kindle versus Nook. And one of them eventually is going to win. And so people are just going to wait to find out which one's going to win. Because, you know, I'm sure this exclusivity isn't going to last for forever.
Yeah.
So people are just going to wait and not buy anything because they'll be like, well, if I'm going to buy these for my graphic novels, what's the point in buying one of them if I can't buy the other?
Well, what should happen is there should be a Kindle. That's fine. There should be a Nook. That's fine. There should be an iPad.
Yeah.
iPad. That's fine. And, you know, I mean, I've discussed this before. There should be a comic shop version of a reader,
right.
too.
I agree.
And that's fine. The actual hardware.
Yes.
It is fine. There can be five or six different versions, but the software involved in all of them should be adaptable to everything.
I agree.
So you can read anything you want on your Kindle.
Yeah.
You can read anything you want on your Nook because there aren't these backroom deals. Who knows what's going down in these backroom deals, Chris?
Oh, that's what we're You know what? I never like the backroom deals.
No, backroom deals are never good.
Never good.
So we encourage Marvel and DC. Chris and I at Comic Culture encourage Marvel and DC to meet at the table. Get an arbitrator. You know, you and I are willing.
I'm very willing to do this for them.
Are you?
All they have to do is call us
or email us, right?
Yes.
And we can kind of work out the differences.
You know, we will sit down with the publishers and let them know, hey, you know what, this is what you guys should do.
Right, for a nominal fee.
Well, of course. Yeah. Well, as well as, you know, the fees to get down there. And, of course, the five-star hotel.
The massages.
And, spas and all that stuff.
Right. We're thinking.
All right,
let's keep going.
Okay, you know what? Here's a point of interest that's near and dear to my heart. Blade Runner, there's a new Blade Runner film, and it's going to be a sequel. According to director Ridley Scott. And,
now, Blade Runner, that first movie was just dynamite.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I loved it.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, Harrison Ford, Rutger Hauer.
Rutger Hauer. Oh, my God.
Great,
Rutger Hauer.
Great, great movie. And you know what's funny? This is a movie that really a lot of people didn't get because it was so out there. It was so strange. It really was one of the last real great science fiction movies that really made people wonder about the future and talk about the future and how things are going to be occurring, right? Because the vision of the Blade Runner universe was so amazing.
Yes.
It was so fantastic that it really encompassed many different things, industry and technology and people's emotions, things like that.
Now, of course, it was adapted from the book Do Androids Dream Electric Sheep, I think.
By Philip K. Dick.
Right, and that now has been adapted into graphic novel format.
That's right, yeah, yes. Which is interesting. Yeah.
Yes, which is great. You know what, though? Here, I like the fact that it will be a sequel. And I like the fact that we're not going to get – what was the guy's name? Deckard?
Yes, Deckard. Yeah. Well, so I'm impressed. No, yeah. It's almost like you've seen the movie.
I love that movie. I've seen it multiple times.
You see so few movies.
Yeah,
I can't believe it.
That was back when I was single.
Oh,
and I saw movies.
Right, right.
I was in the 80s.
Right, right.
Yeah,
okay, fair enough.
That was a great, great film.
Yeah.
Great film. And the thing that worries me about that is Ridley Scott, believe it or not.
Well, yeah, I love Ridley Scott, but for me, he's a hit and miss director.
Yeah, he is exactly right. He's a hit and miss director. He's also, I think, been missing a lot lately.
His last great one was Gladiator.
Yeah, okay, Gladiator.
That was amazing. Yeah. But you know, he's done other things since then that have kind of flown under the radar.
Didn't he do Vanilla Sky or something like that, or something like that?
Vanilla Sky. I know the movie
with
Tom Cruise.
Tom Cruise and what's her name? Nicole Kidman, I think.
I don't know if he did Vanilla Sky. He did do the Robin Hood movie, the one that was recent, which did fairly okay at the box office. But he did one about the Crusades.
Robin Hood.
No, it was another one. And I know The Kingdom, I think, or something like that.
Right.
And it didn't do as well as that's not the name of it. Correct me if I'm wrong, but Kingdom of Heaven. Sorry, right. our guest here is telling us that. It didn't do nearly as well as he had hoped. So for me, he is a bit of a hit and miss. But I do like the guy, and I think part of his vision, part of his artistic ability was came through in the Blade Runner movie.
Yeah, and there's the thing. The operative word was, and I'm fearing my theory on this is that directors as well, they have that peak era of creativity, like musicians,
yep,
and
yep,
you know,
for sure.
like you take even writers like Frank Miller.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Frank Miller had that era of gold where anything he produced was brilliant.
It was awesome.
And then now he's kind of living off.
Now you have Holy Terror.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And Stevie Wonder is producing Intervisions, and now he's doing ballads and stuff.
Well,
terrible
stuff. But there are guys out there, like, say, for example, Steven Spielberg, who have continually put out great movies over the years. Some of them aren't as well received as others, but
they're still good
movies.
Let's hold out hope that Ridley Scott kind of, regenerates the juices. I'll give you another director. You are right. Maybe directing can buck this trend. Is like Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood
continues to
direct great movies. They're not always well received by the public because sometimes people don't get them, but they're always excellent movies, I find. Million Dollar Baby, I love the movie, but man, it's like a depressing, not everybody loves it, but does very well at the box office, does well at the Oscars, rather. Now, as far as Ridley Scott's Blade Runner, did you know that there was actually a Blade Runner video game that came out probably in the 90s? I think it's early 90s, maybe mid 90s. It was a video game that was supposed to be actually like a sequel as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually had some of the original voices as the video game, or as the original movie. And so I'm just wondering if there's going to be any kind of correlation to this, or if this is going to be completely different that has nothing to do with the video game.
Excellent question, Chris. Again, raising the proper questions.
Well, that's my job here. That's my job. Let's have a little bit of a musical interlude here, and you might remember this one from the late 1970s.
The only hope for freedom and democracy is...
Wonder Woman! Wonder Woman!
All the world's waiting for you. In your satin tights, fighting for your rights, and the old red, white, and blue. you and the wonders you can do. Make a honky dove stop a war with love. Make a liar tell it true.
Yes.
Yes, Chris, I still have a deep crush on Linda Carter.
Oh, well, yeah, I do too. I do too. Yeah, absolutely. And many a night I was watching.
I don't want to hear the rest of this, Chris. I do not want to hear the rest of this. I'm sorry. I'm going to cut you off.
I was going to say lying on the floor watching Wonder Woman.
Oh, okay. That's okay. Yeah. You could say that.
Lying on my stomach, of course.
Yes, of course. Yeah, Wonder Woman, great tune. Anyway.
Great tune.
Hey, you know what? Something just came to me. I'm listening to that song. I like the song.
Right.
On the radio, on the way in, when I was driving in for the show. Of course, we all know about the passing of the great Joe Frazier.
Yeah.
I'm a big fight fan, and I'm sad. But what was really, really interesting is he beat Muhammad Ali in the big first Titanic battle at Madison Square Gardens in 1971.
Yeah.
And Ali would trash talk him before everything like that. And the CBC, they played right after the fight. I guess Joe Frazier, you can go on YouTube and do this. He recorded a song. He sang My Way.
Really? You know, the Sinatra, Elvis, I did it my way. Really?
He did a song, but the words are kind of changed to talk about
and
that fight.
Encapsulate his own sort of boxing.
Encapsulate his boxing. Really? And him beating Ali, you know, I did it my way type of thing.
Right.
So fight fans everywhere, just Google or YouTube Joe Frazier, My Way.
I heard a really bad joke about Joe Frazier there.
Okay, let's hear it.
So, when Muhammad Ali heard about it, he was really shaken. Get it? Because he's, you know,
Yeah.
Woo! Tough crowd. Hello, right, is this thing on? Hello.
I didn't
come up with it.
Right, of course not.
I didn't come up with it. I'm just saying.
But you parlayed it to us.
Well, yeah,
it's
because well, I think it is. Remember in Pirates of the Caribbean, they were like parlay.
Parlay. Parlay. My promise to the listeners of our show, the loyal ones.
Yes.
I will come up with other English acronyms, whatever. I'm not using the wrong word.
Acronyms.
Whatever.
I don't think it's an acronym.
It's not acronym. Synonyms.
No, it's not a
synonym.
It's not
phrases.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Other than I say.
What are you going to use?
I don't know yet. I'm just going to Google research.
You know what? Let's do some research. And, you know, I'm going to encourage our listeners to email us and let us know about this. Because, really, we need to know something more about tip.
Yeah.
I say.
Yeah, give me some English sayings that we can kind of
jolly old
English
good day.
From. Yes.
Yeah.
Blimey!
Apparently, because they used crikey last week. And apparently crikey is not
Australian.
One of them.
Yeah, it's Australian.
Crikey!
Listen, Chris. So Marvel, we've talked about Marvel a lot this week. They've officially announced that they're going to go completely across the line for the day and date,
which I think is great.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it's great. I think why not? You know, because really, this digital age is upon us. Did you not know that? I read it in the newspaper today. Digital age is upon us.
Get it? Yeah. I read it in the newspaper. I get it, Chris.
Yeah, did you get that?
But you're right. So you know what's interesting is with this new 52 and with the increase in sales at local comic book stores.
Yes,
which is a great thing. If it wasn't for this new 52 is my question, and things were going as is with a steady decline, would there be blame toward the kind of same date release of digital? Who's downloading this stuff? Is it new readers? If it's new readers, that's good because those are potentially going to come into local comic book shops.
Well, I'm hoping I'm hoping that it is. I'm hoping that it's people that are downloading it on their iPads because that's just what they're used to now,
right?
You know, like As a teacher, I have a lot of students that, you know, I'll often give out paper. In the past couple of years, I used to give out paper assignments, things like that. And they'd say, well, why don't you, can't you just upload it to the server and we'll download it, you know, so they can read it at their leisure.
And you go, huh?
And I'm like, download of the Huda, right.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I'm up to that jive now. I'm talking their lingo.
Yes, you are.
Excuse me. I speak jive.
You speak jive, just like, what's her name?
Barbara Billingsley.
You told me that. It was Mrs. Cleaver
on
Airplane.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
She was the only person on the plane that spoke jive, and those guys are speaking jive,
and nobody understood
them.
The two guys.
And they needed a translator.
That's right. Excuse me, I speak jive.
Yes, that was a great scene.
Mama, I dug her rep.
Yeah.
Yeah. That means, hey, lady, I understood what she said.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, can I move on?
I was translating for you.
But we're running out of time on the show.
I'm terribly sorry. Yes.
All right. Anyway, so where was I on this DC thing? I'm interested in seeing, is it new readers? Can we find out who's downloading? Is it guys, poor guys that are doing both because they're addicted? Are people like buying downloading?
I would doubt it.
I wouldn't.
You think people? Why would they download and buy?
Because
at the
they're
same
comic
time?
Guys.
Now, do you think? Hold on. Now, do you think they're buying it and keeping it in their pristine mint shape in their bags and boards,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, hey, they can go read it on their computer whenever they want. So they're buying it as a collector, hoping that they're going to make it big one day.
You see, though. Remember in the old days, you'd have the guy buying two.
Right.
Right. One to read, one to put away. Now he only has to buy one because he can read the other one on a tablet.
There used to be a really stupid phrase that people – I remember when people would say, and myself included, years ago when we'd buy two copies of something, we'd say one to have and one to keep, which made no sense at all.
Yes.
But people would say that, and we're like, what does that mean? I guess one to have to read and one to keep for later or whatever.
You know what? There is you can't make sense of it is the problem.
No, you really can't.
Because there's no sense to make. All right, Chris. Anyway, good on DC. Sorry, Marvel, I guess, for joining the rest of the crowd with day and date on their digital. All right, leaves us just a little bit of time.
Hold on. We didn't read our last announcement.
Oh, right.
Hold on.
You go ahead. You take the reins.
Our last segment is brought to you by Stretchy Pants, keeping your favorite heroes covered since 1938.
Thank God for that.
Stretchy Pants.
Yes.
And thank God for Unstable Molecules, because really that's what Reed Richards used for, you know, for all of his clothing designs for the Fantastic Four.
I don't want to talk about it.
That's why I'm the professor.
Yes, you are. Chris, every month you and I try to open up the previews. And, of course, the previews is the catalog that Diamond puts out, who are the exclusive distributors of comic books.
Right.
And the previews are available at your local comic book store for anybody to peruse.
Yes.
And so the November previews, which we're going to talk about now, are things coming out to local comic book stores in January.
January, right. Yeah.
So people look through it and they go, oh, that's cool.
I can't live without that.
Yeah,
can't
how much? They don't even ask how much it is. And then, you know, like, it's $1,100.
Sure, why not?
For the captain's chair. I remember that. There was Jim Kirk captain's chair.
That's right.
Yeah, it came in a truck, right?
Well, yeah. Did anybody buy it? Did you ever sell one of those?
No, I sat in my garage.
But you know what I did notice in your office the other day was the Sulu cologne.
Oh, Port Ohm.
Port Ohm. Yeah.
Saving that for a special
night. Oh, boy.
Anyway, you and I like to go through the previews.
Yes.
And pick something that we really – it's dear to our heart.
Well, yes.
We
want
to pick
it
up. So we're going to recommend – I'll go first. So this is the November previews from Diamond Comic Distributors. Head into your local shop and check it out on page 346. I really, really like this Batman black and white statue by Sergio Aragonés.
Yeah. So now we have to explain to our listeners why this is interesting.
Yes.
DC over the number of years has been producing statues of Batman based on artists' conceptions of the character. Right.
Right, but it's a black and white theme series. They're all called Batman Black and White.
Right.
And it's all the great artists.
Right.
Of the thing.
Right.
And every single one of them is intense.
And
dark,
moody,
yeah. Proportioned correctly.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Jim Lee take on Batman. It's the Neil Adams take on Batman. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's, you know, rippling muscles.
Yeah.
It's like really good stuff.
And now we have the Sergio Aragonés one, which is, for those of you who don't know, if you ever read old 1970s Mad magazines, the guy that did all the cartoons in the margins called Mad Marginals, it's that guy. He also did Gru the Wanderer, a lot of – he's a really goofy cartoonist, but awesome cartoonist. Anyways, they made a statue of Batman based on his designs, which is just kind of crazy, I think. Anyways,
I love it. So check that out on page 346 of the Previews magazine.
Now, and I decided to choose Mickey Mouse Jack Sparrow Miracle Action Figure. So here is, we've got, you know, of course, Jack Sparrow.
What page is that on, Chris?
It's on page 380 of the previous catalog.
Yes.
And, of course, you know, everybody knows Jack Sparrow from Pirates of the Caribbean. And basically we have Mickey Mouse dressed up as Jack Sparrow. You know, I don't know what to say about it. It's just, it's very odd looking. And right below it, I'll add, is we've got Mickey Mouse dressed up as the Mad Hatter. Now, it's not the Mad Hatter from the original, you know, cartoon from, like, the 1950s or something like
right.
that. It's the more recent Johnny Depp
Mad Hatter.
So, you know, we've got Mickey Mouse now with red hair, different color eyes, and crazy hat because he is the Mad Hatter.
Chris, you know what that is?
What's that?
Synergy.
I don't think that's synergy.
No, that's absolutely synergy.
Mickey Mouse
as Jack Sparrow is synergy.
Sure.
That is Disney going, man, how do we make money?
That's exactly
yeah,
what that is.
Like,
I don't
well,
know
if
it's synergy.
Let's take, you know, this character and merge him with this other character and try to
somehow make it better than
bleed blood from a stone.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is.
I don't know if it's happening.
All right.
So anyways, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today.
Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. And click on the podcast link. Oh, also at getthepointradio.com and find the comments field somewhere and add your comments.
And remember, if life gives you ninjas, you'll never know because they're ninjas.
Oh, I get it, right?
Yeah, because you can't.
Awesome,
yeah.
Chris. Hey, go out there and please support your local comic book store.
Have yourself a great, great day.